talking to some of the best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Restaurante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Yes, we're here. Just been out chatting with everybody here at Roy's Meat Service, and they do the open, and we're just yakking it up.
Yeah.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, longtime News Channel 5 anchor, and just a wonderful lady, Vicki Yates.
Thank you, Greg.
Hi, Vicki.
Thank you. Hi.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah. It's the first time the Roy's Meat Service. To explain this was sort of like a mix of a big city bodega and a country store.
I love it. I'm serious. I love it. Everywhere you look, there's something different to see.
Yeah.
And the people are so nice.
Yeah. And
the meats are so good.
Oh, yeah. We're your grill's going to be busy tonight, okay?
All right.
Yeah, here's what you do. You cook it. You text me your address. I'm not coming in. It's just be a drive-by. You can bring it out.
We can do that.
You know, and I just go my merry way. You know, I guess you get asked, how's retirement? So I'll start there.
Okay.
How's retirement?
You know what? Retirement is wonderful.
Yeah.
It really is. I worked at News Channel 5 for 33 years. I've been in the business for a total of 50 years. I started.
So you started when you're five?
Bless your heart. I was in college when I started. So it was kind of nice. I tell people that I love News Channel 5. I'll always love News Channel 5. But you know when it's time to, like, okay, I just kind of want to relax. I kind of don't want the stress of doing something different every single day. And I like that because now I can come home when I want to. I can just sit around and do nothing when I want to. I can go to work if I want to. So,
but I put retirement in air quotes.
Oh, yeah. Because
I was flipping through and Channel 8, PBS,
Channel 8.
you know, and I see you hosting Tennessee Crossroads, which I absolutely love.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I had no idea that I would ever be a part of it. But CEO Becky Magura, we were in the same Leadership Nashville class, and she said, you know what, now that you're retired, would you ever think about maybe coming over and working with us on Tennessee Crossroads? And I'm like, how fast can I get over there?
Yeah.
You know, because I love Tennessee Crossroads. It's laid back. You're talking about the people of Tennessee. You're going to places that you probably would never even know about if they weren't on Tennessee Crossroads. So it's perfect.
I'm already lobbying for Roy's Meat Service to be on Tennessee Crossroads.
You know what, I was going to say, I'm going to bring that up when I go back.
Because the quesadillas they serve here, and I forwarded you the Nashville Scene story.
Article.
Her grandmother was one of the first Mexican restaurant owners and made quesadillas with her proprietary blend.
Sure.
And Elvis, when he would come to town, had to have them.
Did
and he would
really?
Have them shipped down there. She actually, Jeff Roy, Roy's Meat Service, buys all the materials. Everything gets it to her, she brings the filling. And they do it here. He's tried to buy it, and it's her grandmother, and she has held on to that.
Okay.
And there's a really neat story, in the Nashville Scene about
that.
Yeah, and that dating all the way back to Elvis.
Wow.
was a big fan. I'm going to get all the obligatory retirement questions
that's
out of the way. What do you miss?
I miss the people.
Yeah.
You know, I miss a lot of the people there because we were really close. And, you know, you come in and you'd say, thank you. Mm-hmm. You'd say, what's going on? And, you know, you'd ask about their kids and they'd ask about your kids. So I miss that. I just don't miss the there was a lot that you had to do. Even when you weren't ready necessarily, you know, you'd do something and they're like, okay, now you got to do this. Okay, I'm going to do that. And at a certain point, you're just like, you know, maybe it'd be nice not to do all of it.
It's not a 9-to-5 job.
No, it's definitely not a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, and I hope Hines is like a big brother to me. When I was writing for the Banner, and obviously Hope there at Channel 5, we worked on a lot of stories together, and I haven't made a career decision or a lifetime decision without talking to Hope
sure.
first.
Smart
but
move.
But you know he would you'd be on at 6 and then you'd be on at 10
right.
and then he said how many times he ate at that downtown Shoney's.
You know, it was only like 5 minutes
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I mean he's eating at that, but it's. I mean, you're a mother. You're a
yeah, grandmother.
Mean, grandmother now, yeah. but that to raise a family
yeah.
in that time.
It you know it was it wasn't difficult because you are a mother and you do what you have to do.
Right.
But I always made sure that my kids were taken care of. Whenever they had games, because my sons played, well, they were martial artists. And they would go and have competitions, and I made sure I was there. I remember, you know, just flying down the road to Lebanon to go to a match. And so that's what you do. My daughter now is involved in television. Mm-hmm. You know, she kind of took my footsteps and took it a lot farther because she's doing basically a show about mysteries from above. It's on the I should know this. I always say that. Anyway, it's called Mysteries from Above, uh-huh. and she talks about things that have happened over the span of a certain time and why it happened that way and why people think it's a mystery, but it's not really a mystery. But it's a lot of information that I wouldn't even know what to do with. But overall, I just really wanted to make sure my kids were taken care of and that I didn't want to be a not their mom. I didn't want to be somewhere else. And when they need me, I'm not there. I wanted to be, make sure.
You know, Google's a wonderful thing. Mysteries from above.
That's it. History Channel.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I was talking about.
Yeah, but Vicki Yates is our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb every Saturday morning here at Roy's Meat Service. Jeff Fisher last week.
Wow.
By the, yeah,
and, I'm in good company.
Well, no, we've upped our game with you.
Oh,
and
okay.
Jeff would agree. And then next Saturday, I want to mention this.
Yeah.
Chris Massaro, who's the athletic director at MTSU.
Wow.
He picked this. He couldn't do it. You know, I was going to get you a little later on. He
sure.
couldn't do it. You know, I thought, well, let's. They open their season next Saturday night against Austin Peay. And he's going to come up the day of the game and do the show.
Oh, that's
the
great.
Next Saturday right
wow.
here. You're, all right, let's go through the kids in
sure.
order. Give me names and grandkids, what they're doing. Let's do that.
Okay.
All right.
My daughter, Tori,
uh-huh.
she's the one who's on Mysteries from Above. She is 38, proud to be 38.
You had her when you were 12? That's
oh, wanna, yeah, it's a secret, but
okay,
you're being very kind. Oh, my two sons are Alex and Max.
Mm-hmm.
They're 36. And for some reason, they both moved to Texas, to different parts of Texas. And you know Texas, it's like its own country, because when you go to one city, you got to drive like another 9 hours to
yeah.
get to another, to the city that you want to get to. So they're very happy Texans now. I don't know how that happened, but I have three grandchildren, one on the way. I have three grandgirls. I have Logan, Maya, and Sasha. And Sasha's mom, my daughter-in-law, is expecting a boy in December. So the first boy.
Well, my daughter Grace, about 20 months ago, had my first grandchild.
Aww.
And I always heard, oh, my gosh.
It's a game changer.
Well, the first time that it's what it is. It's my baby girl's baby girl.
Right, exactly.
And that's the feel. That's my baby girl's baby girl. First time she ran up to me, you know, it melts.
I know.
It melts. Anything else besides Tennessee Crossroads you're doing?
I mean, you know. I do a lot of voiceover work,
mm-hmm.
and so that's good.
Can I tell you something that I've always thought
sure.
about you? Because I, in a different life, was a wordsmith, if you will. Maybe I still am. I don't know.
No.
I sure butcher it, but the language. But you enunciate better than anyone, and it's not it's not like you're overemphasizing the enunciation. Does that make sense?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but I always remembered how you said everything perfectly.
Oh, that is so
and,
sweet.
And
say
yeah,
that.
And it was so distinctive. This is not, you know, I'll flirt with you later, okay? But this is, I don't know why that always stuck with me, because I would listen to you, and it would like every word was had meaning and was done right.
Oh, thank you so
much. Does that
much.
Make sense?
Yeah, well, yeah. It does. And I hope it does. I mean, it does to me. I hope other people see that too.
Yeah.
But thank you.
We're going to get in how you got into this. But also, I've got some things here.
Okay.
And this is the News Channel 5 story of you retiring.
Oh,
okay. Written by Kelsey Gibbs,
on.
Who I love, Kelsey.
Of course, I love Kelsey.
Kelsey's so talented.
She really is.
And so... Which she overcomes the lack of talent by John Burton.
Well,
no. Because JB and I, actually, you came and did our
I know,
yeah,
I
with show. Yeah,
I sure did.
Yeah,
with you
us,
and John.
With John, and of course, he knows I'm
kidding. I love John.
Yeah, but here, where, oh, I lost it. Oh, and tell me about, I have it here on this, Charlie Woodward.
Oh, my gosh. Charlie Woodward is my brother from another mother.
Right.
He really is.
Photojournalist.
Yes, photojournalist, dad of two, husband, and just an overall fantastic guy. I cannot say enough good things about Charlie.
Here's what he said about you.
Oh, no. What did he say?
This is,
maybe I'll change my mind.
Woodward, this is what Kelsey wrote in your retirement story for the TV station's website. Woodward fondly recalls their adventures together, often accompanied by Yates's ever-changing hairstyles. Quote, many times we'll shoot a story on a Wednesday and it'll run maybe a week later, and between that Wednesday and the following Wednesday, the hair would be nowhere close to the same. End quote.
And that's true.
Yeah. So it was Rudy's sweaters and your hair.
It was just something. I got bored. I was easily bored. And I'm like, I don't know if I like this hairstyle today. So I would do something different. Unless we were doing like a series, obviously, where I had to kind of keep it consistent. But, yeah, I'm big on the changing of hairstyles.
Is this?
This is.
What is this? Saturday morning?
This is Saturday morning. It won't look like this tomorrow.
Okay, well, all right. But and one other thing he said here, that in as the mother of three, all three of your children attended public schools.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That says something to me.
You know, I attended a public school
right.
all my life, and I just thought it was a great education. You get to meet all kinds of people. Not that it's not a great thing to go to a private school, but I just think you cut off some of what you would really learn in a private school. You don't learn everything you're going to need to know in a private school. You will in a public school, only because you're exposed to so many different people who don't necessarily have your background. You don't have theirs. You've got different things to connect with.
It's diversity.
You know, it is. Basically, it's diversity.
Right.
And public and private school isn't necessarily that. And, you know, I have friends who love private school, and that's great, but it was very important that my kids go to public school. And they never said, why can't we go to such and such school? Or they never said that. They loved, we were Mount Juliet, so all of the Mount Juliet schools.
There you go. The Bears. The Mount Juliet Bears.
The Golden Bears.
Actually, I live in Rutherford County, but have a Mount Juliet address. Don't ask
you
why.
Really?
Yeah, don't ask why. All right. Hey, Vicki Yates is our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pogue. More with Vicki from Roy's Meat Service right here on 94.9 The Fan. 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Our guest this hour on location is Vicki Yates, a longtime news anchor at News Channel 5. And you can catch her on Tennessee Crossroads. And if I come back in another life, I want to do that show.
It is wonderful.
I mean, I always thought I would be a travel writer.
Really?
You know?
Oh, you'd be perfect for that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But I do have something. I am a firm believer. Well, you know, Prep Football Talk, we do it
sure.
what we do. We've started in partnership with Chase McCabe, program director, Cromwell Radio, Metro Schools, for the first time since 1977 on 102.5.
Wow.
Chase and Coach Bubba, who you met, do
right.
the games. First time since 1977, Nashville Metro Schools will have their
wonderful.
Own game of the week on radio.
That
and I say that with the backdrop against you – School Patrol. That thing, how many
yeah.
Emmys do you have from that?
Probably five from that.
Really? How
yeah.
many Emmys do you have?
I have eight.
Okay. All right. So half of your Emmys
oh, for
were
sure.
for school. Tell me the
yeah.
genesis of it and why it you were impassioned by it.
Sure. It started years ago when we would we did a story on, I believe, a school. I wasn't the one who did the story, but they gave a school an award. and they called it, you know, we appreciate that you, it was the Golden Bell Award. They gave a Golden Bell Award for our excellence at the school. And they said, you know, it'd be great if we could do more stories on schools. That's what the school, the people at the school told us. And I said, you're right, that would be. So one thing led to another. And I said, you know what, I want to start looking at doing stories on schools. There are so many schools out there. There are so many stories. And that's kind of how it started. And we started out doing, like, schools that were doing well as far as academics or their grades were going up. And then we decided, what kind of other stories can we find there? And we found so many. You know, we went to one school, and the teacher teaches mechanics to the school, to the people who are interested in it. And by the time they graduate, they're getting jobs. They were getting jobs with Bridgestone. I mean, once they came out of high school, they had job offers. There were just so many wonderful stories that you could unearth if you just took the time to look. And that's kind of how it was.
I'm usually don't ask. I don't deal in hyperbole, but sure. I'm going to right now.
Sure.
And later in the show, I'm going to dangle a preposition, just warning you, what was the favorite, can you define one of all the stories you did that's your most favorite?
Oh, that's a hard one.
What comes to your mind first?
Actually, since I just said it, the one about the teacher, TJ, right, Miss TJ.
Yeah.
And it was just so smart of her to do that, because she knew that a lot of these kids were not going to have a chance to do more once they got out of school. You know, she wanted to make sure they were focused, and for those who were focused on taking care of cars or thinking maybe they had a future in that business, she taught them everything. She taught them the business side of it. She taught them how do you change a carburetor, you know. And so I think that was probably one of my favorites. And I haven't talked to her in a couple of years, but I've thought about going back. I'm hoping she's still working, just to see what's going on. You know, but that was certainly one of my favorites.
The most difficult.
The Covenant shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
How hard?
It was so hard.
Mean, and, you know, not a woe is me,
right,
but,
no,
you know,
no.
For you. But
no.
That I cannot imagine.
Yeah. It certainly wasn't about me.
Because you had to detach Vicky the mom, Vicky the person, and be Vicky the news person, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that was hard. We were about to go on Talk of the Town, and they said, something's going on. There's a shooting at Covenant School. And so I just sat there. I sat there for about eight hours, and just, you know, reports would come in. And then Hannah McDonald, her mother-in-law worked there. And so she had reason to be really concerned. She hadn't heard of, you know, she heard about the shootings and she wasn't sure. And it was just a horrible time, because you couldn't help but when you're sitting there thinking of, and you saw the parents outside trying to, you know, figure out what's going on. And you think as a parent, you're like, that could be, you know, my kids. Those could be my neighbor's kids. What is going on? And it just, that was probably the hardest. Trying to stay as upbeat as you possibly can without just saying, sometimes you want to say, really, people, what are we doing? But you can't say that.
Yeah, you want to, though.
You sure do.
Okay, how do you separate, because we all believe, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And we are in our... where we are right now, we're so divisive. Not only am I right, I've got to prove you wrong.
Right, exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not enough.
You don't have a Howard Baker and a Teddy Kennedy walking across the aisle and saying, let's figure this out.
Right. And I don't get that. It irritates me, and it saddens me at the same time, because it doesn't look like America to me. It just doesn't. It doesn't seem like America.
All right. We're going to get really light right now. Okay.
Good idea.
All right. You know Cindy Crawford.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
Cindy Crawford.
The model.
Yeah. And obviously, and she has these advertorials, right,
okay,
about her skincare.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Right?
Yeah.
And she uses a rare melon extract from the south of France.
Okay.
Okay. I want to know, and it's the claim to be the secret to her youthful, radiant skin.
Uh-huh.
I want to know how many rare melons you grow in your backyard.
I grow some rare weeds. I'm not, I don't have a great.
How do you? You look the same. I'm
you
looking.
Are
at,
so
I'm
sweet.
Looking.
Man,
this is as close as I'm going to get to flirt. Okay. I mean, I look at these pictures on the internet, you know, Googling, and right. you know, 20 years ago, you looked the same.
You are so. Sweet.
How do you do it?
Seriously, I don't know. You know, I think it's genetics.
Good genes.
It
yeah.
is,
yeah.
You can't choose your genes.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was. He died at the age of 83, but everybody thought he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
So it's just genetics.
Yeah.
That and a good facialist.
Well, I need that number.
Okay. No, you don't.
Yeah. All right. That's enough of that. Okay. I'm going to dangle my preposition.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you where you're from
okay.
after the break. Okay.
No
and we're going to learn about Vicki Yates from the
horse's mouth.
You were born on, according to the interweb, so it must be true, January
31st,
uh-huh. right?
1954.
A day before me. I'm
really?
February 1st.
Oh
right, so we're fellow Aquarians.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break. More with Vicki Yates right here. It is 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, and 94.9 The Fan. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Our guest this morning, News Channel 5 anchor and melon grower, Vicki Yates. When you said you grew, I said, well, I got some wild weed in the background. I go, well,
I know.
There's about 25 states that you wouldn't be arrested for, okay?
I just say that. After I said that, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't mean it like that.
Again,
I really have weed.
Definitely send me your address now, all right? Oh, my gosh.
I actually have weeds. Really bad yeah. grass. Is
okay.
What I'm that's even worse.
Yes, see, just stop.
Let me just stop.
Right.
Just forget
okay.
it.
Chase McCabe is our program director at Cromwell yeah. Radio, and he's, until he gets somebody hired to do this, he's doing it. Chase, you got a story about Vicki and Channel 5.
Yeah.
Chase?
I was probably 17. I was a junior in high school, and at FRA, we did like a interim week where you could go out and figure out what you want to do with your life, essentially. And so I knew at a young age that I wanted to do something in media.
Wow.
And my grandfather was pretty good friends with Chris Clark, and so he got it set up for me to go hang out at Channel 5 for a day. And it was like the coolest thing ever, because I got to follow Chris around and go to Rotary meetings and all the stuff that he did, and like I grew up watching, so I mean it's like, this is Chris Clark, this is awesome. And we did the 6 o'clock, and you came in, and you know, I'm sitting there as a kid going, this is Vicki Yates, and you were nice, you were awesome. I got to watch the whole newscast with everybody, like with Ron and Hope, and I ended up coming back a year later and doing a sport more, because I knew I wanted to do sports, so I got to hang out with Hope and the late great Mark Howard, and who I would get to work with a little bit later in radio, and Eric Yutzi was still there at the time, and Coos and Brian McKeegan. So it was really cool. But every time I've run into you, you've always been just super nice, and so I always appreciate that. We miss you on the TV, but glad you're enjoying retirement.
I appreciate that. I'm so glad that you got to be with one of the original crews, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean,
so many people have kind of come and gone, but no, that was a great crew to work with.
Well, apparently this is now 101 with Greg Pogue plus Chase.
Hey, you asked.
There you go.
Thank you, Chase. All right, here you go. Where are you from?
I'm from Detroit.
Really?
Uh-huh. Detroit, Michigan, near 8 Mile Road. You know, the movie 8 Mile, and I know that world well. It was a great place to live.
Tell me about growing up.
Growing up was fun. I was the youngest daughter. There was my older sister, I should say, and my mom and my dad, and they were just very, you know, laid back, but my mom was more of the strict one, and you know, you had to do your homework, and they both worked like two jobs, but they'd
What'd your
home.
Dad do?
My dad was a couple of things. He was a chauffeur. He also was a doorman at like the top hotel there. So I remember he came home one night and he said, Henry Ford I guess, junior, gave me a $200 tip. Yeah. And we were like, whoa, I don't know what Henry Ford did. But after that, we started buying Fords.
So. Yeah, you, now you know.
Maybe it was Henry's
and
investment.
And your mom. Tell me about your mom.
My mom was great. She was the disciplinarian.
What's her name?
Ozell.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the disciplinarian. So if something went wrong, you didn't want mom to find out about it because she would make sure. You know, I'm from the land of where I'm going to give you a switch, and so you go out there and pick out the
switch. Go get the switch. You know what? I did that one time, and I brought back this little. It's like about 2 inches long, and she goes, "Nah, need a bigger switch."
Exactly. See, I knew better than to bring back a little switch. Yeah, I'm like, "Look, no, I'll just."
Well, actually, my mom laughed at first.
Really?
Then I had to go get the switch.
So she didn't laugh enough to forget.
She thought it.
It
was funny, and then the switch was still used. So you're got an older sister?
I have an older sister. Yeah. Her name is Michelle. And uh-huh. She still lives in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, she sells antiques. So
wow.
she's been doing that for years. So her whole house looks like you've gone back into time.
In high school, you went to Michigan State, right?
I did, Michigan State.
What did
yep.
you major in?
Telecommunications.
When did you know that was – when did the bell go ding?
That's
I want to be
question.
In the business and maybe in front of the camera.
You know, I was, we took a class, I had a class, one of the classes I had was where we had to put together a newscast, you know, on our own and kind of, mm-hmm. of course they helped us, but you had to do that on your own. And I would like the production part of it, I like to produce, but as things went along, they would have me do things on camera, and I started to do that. And after I did that, I said, well, you know, this isn't so bad either. And that's kind of how I got started. I had no desire to be an anchor. I had no desire to be on the air. I just wanted to be in television because I'm a child of the 50s. And that, you know, that was my friend, was the TV set was my friend.
We're both child of the 50s, but it's just I'm not using the
melon. You're younger than me.
No, I'm not using the melon, though. I am my head's a melon.
No,
but so we're first time on camera. Do you remember where that was and the feeling you got from being? And I'm going to get to the technical components of it
sure.
in a minute, but just that first time, do you remember?
I do. The first time I was on, actually it was school, it was MT, it was Michigan State's station, mm-hmm. so it wasn't seen by everybody. But I remember the general manager said, it was the general manager who said, he said, I need you to go out and do a story and then come back because so-and-so is sick and can't do it. I said, oh, okay. It was my first story. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I tell people this all the time, and be careful what you wear. Because I had on this hot pink twisty top that I should have been wearing to a disco instead. And I was like, oh, great, I'm not dressed properly for this. But I remember that I was so nervous. I was holding the mic, and my hand was shaking.
Were you live?
Thankfully, it was on tape. Uh-huh. And I was just like, my hand was going like this, and I had to, like, put it down here and hold it with my other hand, so I kind of stabilized it. So that was my first time on air. And then when I got back, we had to put it together, and I actually went home and saw it on air. I thought, oh, my God, I got to do better than this.
Well, that's really the first time I remember our friend Vince Gill. He remembers the first time he was driving around and heard himself on the radio.
Man, can you imagine?
And with you, the same. Your first job.
Right.
What was your first job?
Oh, I was a shipping clerk. I worked in a really expensive jewelry store, and they would have you wrap packages. So when Christmas comes, I'm always the lead rapper
right.
at home.
The lead, you rapper, you're rapping.
Not like Eminem rapping. Yeah. Like rapping
what job did you have as like fast food, anything that you did just to high school days? I remember I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I got fired.
Really?
There's only two places I've been fired from. First was Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I was like a sophomore in high school, and back then there was just one kind, and I forgot to put the the seasoning in it, and it came out albino white. Okay, but the taste was
good.
It was the same. It just didn't have that color.
You could have been starting something.
Well,
new,
okay,
you know?
And so had to throw it away, and don't let that happen again. Yada yada yada. A week later, it happened again, and it's like 48 pieces of chicken. Okay, and so the guy said, you're fired. You take that chicken out to the garbage and never come back.
What?
Well, guess what? I took it home, and all the neighbors, we had a big feast on the 48 pieces of chicken.
So your firing wasn't
a bad thing. No, another one, and I know this is supposed to be with Vicky Gay. My best friend's aunt and uncle owned a restaurant in Bowling Green called The Boat Dock, sat right on Barron River.
Okay.
And it was popular. Lines out the door, catfish and all that. And we were busing at the end of the night, and it's just a wreck because it was so full.
Sure.
And so we would do hush puppy fights. Okay, and so I pop around the corner. Well, apparently there was one group that was still in there, and two couples, and older couples, and I doinked a hush puppy off this woman's head, and she was screaming, and the manager comes out, you got to fire her, and the lady, the owner fired me, okay, right there on the spot in front of her, and said, and he goes, you go in my office, and we'll take care of this later, okay, so. The people leave. She comes in there. She's dying laughing. She goes, I never liked that woman.
Did she, like, rehire you?
Yeah, she said, you got your job. I never liked her.
Wait a minute. Was it a hot hush puppy?
It was going to the garbage. And so, you know, we'd leftovers. We would have hush puppy fights. Actually, we'd take them around Western Kentucky campus and throw them at students. But anyway, I don't know. All right, enough of that. Your first TV job.
Oh, the first TV job was in Toledo, where I wore that horrible outfit. Oh no, that was in school. It was in Toledo, uh-huh. And I wanted to work there, and I basically just called over and over and over and wanted to talk to the general manager, and he was very nice. He didn't say, look, stop calling me.
Right.
You know, and I would say, well, you know, there are no openings now. Well, okay, well, I'll call later. And I kept calling. Finally, he said, hey, there's an opening. Do you want it?
No, hire you to quit calling, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, really, stop calling me?
Yeah.
So that was the first one. That was in Toledo.
Was that as a reporter?
It was as a reporter.
Reporter?
Yeah. I wasn't an anchor until Cincinnati.
Okay, so did Cincinnati follow Toledo? Give me the stair steps of your career.
Oh, yeah. Toledo first, then Cincinnati,
right.
Then Pittsburgh, then Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah.
When here? When did you start?
I got here 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Chris Clark was already an icon.
He was. Yeah. And I cannot say enough good about Chris Clark. Mm-hmm. He's just like the best. And I've had a lot of anchors and co-anchors, but he is like, and I hope I haven't insulted anybody, but he's my favorite co-anchor.
Well, it makes
sense.
He really
is. Yeah. Yeah. He was always nice. I never saw him get out of pocket about things. He was just a great guy. He is a great guy.
You go in the studio, you know, because I did the Sports Plus
a lot.
You know, with Hope and then JB later.
Right.
And everything. And, you know, you are speaking and looking at a camera that has hopefully thousands and thousands of people watching, right?
Hopefully.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Wouldn't it be, you almost, you know, I've seen so many like who make love to the camera, right?
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
And so how did, it's not easy because is it like you look like I'm talking to one person and that, or how do you do that? Because you're just talking to a box.
You're talking to a box with words.
Yeah, with the words.
Going around. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. No, I always think of it as somebody out there wants to hear this. Seriously, that's what somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody out there really wants to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And if I do that, then I'm focused, and this is for you. And I'm hoping there are a whole lot of
you. But you don't talk to it as if you're talking to a group. You're talking to
an individual.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that relates better.
Yeah,
you know, people can kind of tell when, I think she's talking to me. And, you know, I know they know that I'm talking to everybody, but I want them to feel like I'm talking to them. Because if I think I'm talking to everybody, I'm not going to make everybody happy. Somebody's going to say, I didn't like the way she said that word, or I didn't like her hair. I got that a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, if you don't like it, wait a day, right?
Yeah, it'll change.
Yeah.
It won't look like this tomorrow.
Yeah. And look, this right, I approach this right here, and I think a lot of sports talk, a lot of talk is everything that you're talking, and it's like, the person who's listening is sitting right next to us, listening to us, like we're just sitting around the
talking
in a den, just chatting.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the way it should feel.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to feel like I'm here and you're there. Because that just kind of takes away, that's a blockage. You know, I don't want to think that there's something in between the two of us. I just want it to be you and me.
Yeah.
Like now.
Well, thank you. Now that I told my stories, I don't think I've ever told the hush puppy story on Nashville radio.
I'm honored.
Yeah, I'm surprised. All right, let's take a break. 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb. Roy's Meat Service, you're 15 minutes away from walking out of here with some prime meat, okay?
I am so ready.
All right, then you get your choice.
Oh my gosh.
Take a break. Little Motown, Detroit.
Thank you very much.
Chase, I'm going to give Chase credit for that. I don't know if he did it or not, but we're going to say good job, Chase.
I was producing a little bit.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Detroit Motown. We got it.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What does it feel like to be a co-owner of a football team? I mean, seriously.
Hospitalization, maybe, you know. It was, Jeff Fisher and I got involved last year with an ownership group, and now Jeff and I and Bobby Dvorsny, our CEO, we're on the Nashville Cats.
Wow.
I'm the chief operating officer. Chase and Big Joe do our home radio games.
Oh, that's great.
On 93.3,
okay.
Where MTSU Austin Peay will be next Saturday night, and Chris Massaro, the AD, will be here that morning for this show. But it's, you remember the Cats.
Oh, I do, of course.
And now it was such, they averaged right at 12,000 a game when they were back in what's now called Bridgestone Arena.
Right.
And we now have adults who are in their 30s bring their kids that their parents took them to the game.
That's a
cool thing about it. All right.
I had to know.
All right. Don't worry about making anybody mad. What's your favorite restaurant in Nashville?
Oh,
favorite.
Hard.
Where's your go-to restaurant? Yeah, I know there's.
You know what? I can't think of one in particular that I go to more.
Special
than
occasion. Where are you going?
I've gone to like Jeff Ruby's.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Well, that's
I get that.
I get that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there every day, but
no.
Couldn't afford to go there every day.
Tax bracket.
Yeah, mine either.
Your favorite actor?
Oh, that's a good one. Probably, he's passed on, but I really like Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
I just thought his work was always stellar. He always did a great job.
Well, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was wonderful.
Favorite musician?
Oh.
When you pop in your 8-track, what is
it? It's probably, my 8-track. She wasn't on 8-track. Beyonce.
Beyonce.
I'm a member of the Beehive.
Okay.
That's the name of her fan. Those
are fans. I know. Favorite movie?
Imitation of Life.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That was back in the 60s.
Favorite book?
I can't really think of one in particular.
That's okay. Favorite food?
Ooh, favorite food. A good steak.
Steak? Well.
I'm serious. I wasn't saying that just because I'm here.
You're going to get a steak. You don't have to say it, okay?
Oh, steak and potatoes.
The best vacation trip you ever had taken?
Probably going with my parents to the New York. We went to a festival there. And we
Woodstock?
No. My parents wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
Trust me, they would not have gone to Woodstock. Yeah. No, but it was. And it was that we drove. And when you drove, had like a road trip, I'm sure you did it too.
Yeah.
You packed a lunch. So we had chicken and we had deviled eggs. And so we didn't have to stop anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool because a lot of people would say, Hawaii, Europe.
Yeah,
that's old school.
It was
for
a road trip.
Okay. What are the things or the top of the list or close to the top of the list still on your bucket list of things you want to do?
I want to do something for kids. I know that I want to maybe there are some kids who can't afford lunches. I would love to be able to do that on a regular basis.
Well, that's okay. All right. I'm not going to accept that answer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because that is for you're doing it's wonderful answer, but you're doing it for somebody else.
Oh, I see.
Bucket list is
for me.
For you.
Oh, okay.
What's on your mind? I'd like dying. Mine's going to the Open, the British Open in Scotland. I'm going next, I think it's July.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to the, because it's going to be at Royal St. Andrews.
Oh my gosh.
So that's my bucket list. I'm going to do it next year.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So what's yours?
My bucket list would be to go to probably somewhere like Sweden, a place I've never gone.
Yeah.
I've gone to like England, I've gone to France, I've gone to Egypt, but something like Sweden where they're completely different from what, you know, the things that I'm used to.
Yeah. Favorite sports team?
Oh, well, the Cats.
You're getting the steak, Vicky, okay? Other than the Nashville Cats, who's your favorite?
Okay,
and other than the Titans.
Okay.
It's in Michigan, I guess, Sparty, right?
Oh, yeah, Sparty.
Yeah, you got to use Sparty, right?
You know what I would really like? I would like a female basketball team here. I know that we have, you know.
Cleveland got it. I think eventually with Haslam.
Right.
Bill Haslam, the owner of the Preds, and I think, you know, he's behind it with call it the Summit. Because of Pat Summit.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think we will eventually have a WNBA team.
I hope so, because I think that's missing, and it's so hot now.
Yeah. So what do you do? Give me, what do you do Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday, I'm basically at home, and unless I'm working, and I'll go out and do voiceovers and, you know, work for Channel 8. But when I'm not, I try to exercise. I exercise a lot. I'll make a real quick story. I had heart surgery this year. I had it in February. Just out of the blue, they found out that, your valves aren't working correctly. Mm-hmm. So, make a long story short, I had the heart surgery. But as a result, I learned how to pace myself better and to exercise better. And so now I exercise a lot. That's what I do. I do Pilates. I go to the gym. I do a little bit of everything because I just having that in my background, I want to make
sure. I think digging up weeds in your backyard would be
Well, that's true. Either that or hire a goat.
Yeah. When you look back at your career, what's your number one takeaway?
That I've met some fantastic people that I probably would never have met any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully. I mean, I've met presidents and I've met...
Well, thank you. The Obama visit.
Yeah.
I know we only got a minute, and that should have been my lead.
That's okay.
Yeah, I buried the lead again.
No, you did.
But the Obama visit.
Oh, my gosh. I was so excited. They told me on a Thursday, and we went out on a Monday. And so I had the whole weekend to kind of, like, prep for it. Make a long story short, I got a chance. I thought when the president comes into the office, you know, they announce, the president has arrived.
Yeah.
Or something like that. No, they didn't do that. They came and I was like, when's he coming in? And all of a sudden, I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder. And I'm like, I'm looking up, and it's President Obama. And I'm like, you know, And he says, hello, Vicky. And I said, yes. He said, I'm Barack. And I said, hello. I'm like dying. Anyway, he sits there. We talk. And by the end of the conversation, he says, you're from Detroit, right? And I guess he done his homework. I'm like, yes. He said, you have family? I said, yeah, my sister Michelle lives there. He said, tell Michelle I said hello. So as soon as I left, I ran to the ladies' room and I called my sister. Barack Obama said to tell you hello.
And he probably remembers the name Michelle.
Yeah, that's true. He couldn't forget Michelle.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for having
me. And congratulations on not just what you achieved, but how you achieved it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I want to come back and interview you.
You know,
seriously. You know people have been wondering things about
So 101.
I would support that.
See?
101 with Greg Pogue. I'll have to buy another hour. It's going to be 2 hours.
Well, I'll help you pay for it. How about that?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you
now,
for having
now
me.
Now we're off to the meat case, okay?
All right.
Chase McCabe, thank you, buddy. We'll
thank
be
you.
Listening all week, of course, with Chase and Big Joe. We do this every Saturday morning from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Next week, MTSU AD Chris Massaro. Thank you, lady.
My pleasure.
Everybody have a great day.